evening, everyone. Shortwave is scannerless as that. We're going to start the test in about 30 seconds.
2GN, listening.
WB2XTT listening for MA4, please.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Zen4, and I'll be with the shortwave scanner listeners at looking to the net, which is held on this frequency every Wednesday at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in various aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. So we talk about everything that you could listen to on the radio, any frequency you can like, and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about amateur radio any other time during the week. We can talk about who's on these frequencies, what equipment you can use, what's coming down the pike as far as new technology, new laws, books, that have information, where you can find resources on the internet, anything to help the hobby, make the hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you.
Into an opening, into HBA, what a message. Yes, good evening all. This is Into HPA. As of yesterday, we have a new addition to our network. Any of your members that come in on 2 meters, we have a machine located in Upper Manhattan on the Bronx border on 2 meters. It's 147.15 megahertz, and the PL phone is 13.0. It moves into the network, and all can use it for access.
Terrific. 147.150 in the tone of 123. Well, congratulations. You've done it again, lad.
Okay. Enjoy the evening. Have a good night. Enjoy HBA. I'll be listening.
Okay. Like I said, those who are in the Upper Manhattan, Bergen County, Bronx area, we've got a local machine for you. So, let me make use of it. Okay, some basic ground rules for the net. One, as you can tell, there are many repeaters on this system. Best way to find out is to go to www.n2row.net. You get the full list with the PL code. Okay, two, if you're not able to get into the repeater, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you're not a licensed amateur radio operator yet, you can always join us by sending an email. And our email account is nyvxa@yahoo.com. That's also the email address to use if you'd like to subscribe to our monthly newsletter and to be put on the mailing list for any hot information that comes out throughout the week. For those who are checking in on the air, we ask that you give your call sign, your name, location, and please indicate if you have traffic for the net. If you don't have any traffic, just say no traffic, and we'll continue with the next person on the list. So that will stand by for check-in. Please space it out, get everybody in, and nobody's stepping on each other. This is N2 open.
WXQ2, Bob, in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment.
This is KC2TGN in Manhattan. No traffic.
This is KC2JVN, calling from Brooklyn. No traffic. Can you hear me, Charlie? From you.
This is Harvey.
KC2GLH, Anthony in Brooklyn, no traffic.
For 150, make sure I can make it in there.
And to NOV.
is November 2, Oscar Victor Quebec. Name is Robert DeVos. No traffic.
And 2NLV.
This is Alpha Alpha 2 Mike India. The name is John. The TPH is up in New York. Good evening, Charlie. No traffic.
And 2NLV. And 2NLV, here is WB2SGT with traffic.
And 2RVM, Elmwood Park,
Rod, no traffic.
That was you coming in at 115. Sounded good. You just heard the tail end of it. N2OBQ, AA2MI, WB2STP, and N2RVF. Anybody else?
EA2UIJ, Lodi, New Jersey, no traffic.
November uniform, Alex and Yanker.
Okay, N2NNU. Welcome. Anybody else? I've got a question, I'll put that down a little, but you double with somebody.
KC2, UIP.
A licensed amateur radio operator yet. You can still participate by sending an email. The email address is nyxa@yahoo.com. Okay, let's go through the list. We'll pick up additional check-ins when we get to the bottom of this list. So, first one tonight, WA2SQ. Good evening, Bob, and thanks for picking things up last week.
Hey, Charlie, I don't have any traffic at the moment. I'll check email in just a few, but pass me by here and I'll get you in a few minutes as soon as I check email. I just got in a few minutes ago. I'm running a little bit late, but I have no traffic at the moment.
N1NLZ, was that you trying to get out the new 2-week frequency?
Yeah, affirmative there, Charlie. I'm on the 147-150 here. I figured I'd give it a try. I'm on the vertical antenna right now, not the beam. I'm not sure if I'd make it on the vertical here, but I figured I'd try the worst case first. If I can make it on this, then I'd make it on anything. But the audio sounds, to me, it sounds better on the output of the machine on this frequency. So I can hear you a lot better on this one. Even though the signal isn't as quite as strong as the other one, as far as the C signal, but for some reason the audio sounds a little louder, so it helps over here. So how do I sound now, Charlie?
You sound fine. You're full quieting into the system. You'll probably drop your power and still do it.
Very good. All right. Nice job. Nice job by that gentleman. I didn't catch his name. I imagine he's responsible, but... he's got a nice system, I'll tell you. Real nice setup.
Okay, that was Lance at 2HBA. He and Richie at 2RW and Tom at B2A, the three guys that pulled all the systems together. So, yeah, they did a lot of good work. As you see.
Okay. Yeah, I have nothing for the net right now. I'll be listening to Hi Bob there and everybody else on the net. I missed last week's net. I was at the Ranger game there, but I'll be listening here tonight. Nothing right now for the net, though.
Okay, Bob. Well, speaking of Ranger games, are you able to loop any frequencies of the game itself?
You know, I didn't bring a radio, but I think I will bring it. I'm going to Sunday's game. I think I will bring my little Uniden 246, which is small enough to fit in my pocket, where I don't have to worry about, you know, carrying something big with me. And I'll leave the Stalker on there. Even though it's so loud here, you really can't hear anything, but I might, I'm going to probably get there early, and maybe I'll Stalk around for a little while.
Okay, put in stalker mode to see what hits. Might have some interesting things pop up for you.
I'm sure there will be. But, maybe I'll look ahead of time, see if I can find some frequencies to put in, but for the god, and see what I can find. But I like the stalker mode better.
Forward to that. Let's see. Some news that's been popping around. This comes from the May issue of Modern Times Magazine. The FCC has approved the rule for IBOC. You know, the in-band on-channel digital AM broadcast setup, or as KQTV and I say, it buggers other channels. It had been previously limited to daytime-only stations. Daytime-only operations, excuse me. But now they're going to be allowed to run their digital at night. So what is that going to mean? Well, for the stations that are running IBOC, you're going to get digital noise on either side of their channel. So for example, WOR 710, you're going to not only hear the AM carrier, but then add another 10 kilohertz in each direction, and you're going to hear all the digital noise on top of it. So that means you're going to have trouble hearing stations like 690, 700, 720, 730. Welcome to the 21st century, I guess. So, anyway, let's see. WB2STT, you're up next. And Cornelby.
Thank you.
Charles and the group, N210V, WB2SDT. Well, I'm planning my trip today. Only a couple of weeks away. And, I don't think I'm taking the Jeep. I'm taking my hard drive. I don't know how it was junk in here. Tent, cot, generator, refrigerator. All the comforts of home. Anyway, last Wednesday evening, I was talking again about ASTC, Advanced Television Selection Committee, and I was searching for a ASTC portable, you know, a little Casio handheld. They're not available yet, but time is coming. One of my financial boards I participate in, I posted, what will you do when your TV set goes blank? WB2SDT.
Well, I know the various portables I have here, Pete, they're going to be used as video monitor outputs and things like satellite vision. I know the pilot video card or maybe main TV projects of some type. I always try to keep them.
Yeah, that's true. I just bought a handheld, ruggedized, rubberized, water-resistant Casio for $50. With all those facilities, but again, it will not receive digital TV. So it's like iPod technology. When they bring the first day out, they're going to cost a heck of a lot of money, and then the price will go down. You know, I had to stop it because my mom's death, and I had to get to this lab, and I finally went into Walmart. You could buy a 19 or 20 inch TV set that has old TV and new TV for about $140. You will get digital TV. You will not get HD. The FCC rulings require transmission to be digital format, but HDTV is not required, and that, of course, is a home permit. They have to pay for licensing. So, we'll see. Today, TV pictures go blank. What was that movie? News, something or other, and threw all that TV set out the window. There's going to be a hell of a lot of TVs in the garbage. WB2SDT.
You mean the movie Network?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to
that's the network. And that's going to be a big problem because one of the problems is disposing of old TVs. Not just the glass, but it was the glass and the other heavy metal.
Just because it's digital does not necessarily mean it's high definition. There's a lot of what's known as standard definition television digital tests. And that's the bare minimum. So as of President's Day, 2009, analog transmissions go away, standard def will take over for high def on new channels, which are already being broadcast right now. They're in simulcast. Their main program is what's on analog. And what happens to those frequencies that they're going to vacate? Well, that's still up in the air. Some people are saying they're going to be used for public service agencies. Some are saying it's going to be used for what's known as 4G cellular phone service. In other words, ultra-wide band that you will able to watch live streaming television on your cell phone. and that is 2.6 gigs.
Familiar with it.
Yeah.
The requirement is only ATSC digital. There's no requirement for HD. So many stations will transmit ASTC, but no HD because they will not want to pay the royalty fee. Not for nothing. We'll see. We'll see. But like I say, you know, this is the last piece of the bargain.
Maybe I'll find something real cheap.
Comments?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think you're going to see a lot of DVDs in the garbage at all, to the contrary. What you now have is you have DVD recorders that are coming out that are at the price of VCRs. I'm talking list price $149. They all have digital tuners in them. So all people have VCRs and they're going to want to replace them. So they're going to get either a DVD recorder or a DVD recorder with VHS built in. That has a digital tuner. That connects to your present TV. That's your set-top box. I don't think you're going to see TVs on the garbage, trust me.
Yeah, true. But you have to understand something. The general public is not technically experienced like we are. Okay, this is the problem I have on the financial board that I'm on. What are we going to do? How much are we going to pay? These people are not going to have the knowledge to figure out how to pay a DVD recorder with a digital receiver and plug it into their video and a TV. They're going to be sitting there.
I beg to differ. Let me tell you why. Not going to go into specifics, but you know I work in the industry. There are, starting probably at the end of the summer, you're going to see most of the consumer electronic manufacturers addressing this issue, and they are going to be aiming at exactly that issue. You know, in other words, use this to get ready for digital television and so on. So, this is a huge, huge marketing opportunity, and I can't disagree with you more. I know it's going to happen. Let me put it to you that way, and I don't think it'll be a problem at all.
WB2HWW, you want to comment?
Ted.
Listening to this, I don't think anything's going to happen, because you know what's going to happen? They're not going to turn off all the analog stuff, because I think what's going to happen is as soon as the Congress people start getting phone calls from some little old lady in the Midwest, you're going to see Congress get very upset. So I think they'll extend it and keep extending it. Because some little old lady with a pair of rabbit ears is not going to want to go out and do all this stuff. WD2HWW.
Hey, you're wrong again, and I'm going to tell you how they're going to get around that. The money that has, those frequencies, by the way, are already in the process of being auctioned off, okay? To give you an idea, 20% of the money that they will make from those auctions is going to go into a fund that will most likely provide a digital set-top converter box to families, you know, with limited incomes and so on, and, you know, out in the heartlands of America. And that's only 20% of it, to tell you how much money they're making. It is going to happen, and the reason being is because the government, with their money-hungry hands, realizes how much money there is to be made. So they will auction off that RF spectrum. 20% has already been allocated to set-top boxes, and those people that cry and, you know, whatever is going on, the set-top boxes that they will provide, probably at no charge if you meet certain criteria, that will make all that up, but it will happen. It ain't going to go away, trust me.
WB2STP. Hey. I agree with you.
frequency, and we're on the same frequency. But you have to remember one thing, a quasi-technical problem. AFTC is on UHF, you see. And when you live out there, in the boonies, in the heartland, in the grainland, let me tell you something. Few of those people are going to receive UHF TV. That box will mean nothing. When I built my house in New Jersey, I built it originally with the biggest VHF and UHF antenna array you could possibly buy. And my UHF antenna used a microwave preamp so I could receive television from Baltimore, Maryland, directly. Of course, I couldn't get Newark because the mail is in the way. But what about those people out there who know no way? Yep, it's the Austin theory. There's no doubt about it. Those frequencies are going to be up for Austin, and they're going to be sold for big money.
WB3XWW with a comment or comment?
One second.
Peter, let me throw some numbers at you. Out of the entire TV viewing population in the United States, what percentage is receiving programs off the air, meaning not cable, not satellite?
You know what? Sadly, truly, from my experience, probably about nuts like me, 10%.
40%, 40 to 50% in New York area.
Okay.
Entire United States, 12%. In the New York, in this area right here, it's less than 4%. I know those numbers. I don't want to get into detail, but I work in the consumer electronics industry, and in this area especially. One of the things that will tell you how much or how little is that if you look at the tuner specifications on DVD recorders and VCRs and on TVs right now, and you really get into the specs, you'll notice that the dynamic range of the tuners has gone way, way down. And the reason being is now that all the consumer electronic manufacturers are designing tuners with much less dynamic range because they know that the input is going to be consistent, either from cable or from satellite. And it's one of the reasons why they can make these tuners so cheap. You don't need a dynamic range anymore. You did years ago with all the off-air programming. But off-air programming, there are those of us that still use it, but the percentages are getting they are low, and they're getting very, very low as each month goes by. How is that?
Go ahead.
WW had a comment. Go ahead.
Oh, he's probably playing one of his video games. I know how. He was many years ago.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, no doubt about the tuners. I remember the original Varactic UHF tuners. We must put a freaking die out in them. Yep, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Most people are receiving TV from satellite and cable. And, I can go back to UHF Relay 6, Pennsylvania, and all kinds of great wonderful stuff. And there is something else. Internet. Broadcasting. The TV base, the broadcasters, would just love to get rid of all their transmitters and sensors.
Station, did I get copied?
All right, everybody calm down. Somebody's doubling with me. Pete, totally understand. I was passing it over to KCQIT with us, like KCQIT. And I want you to introduce yourself to the group.
Okay, I'm Danny Bye.
Okay, I guess KCQIT is not what you're looking for. All right. 931. We'll stand by as we pick up additional check-ins and Bob checks the email. So again, if you're not able to get into the net, nycsa.com. So stand by for additional check-ins. Please space it out. And also make sure you speak up. Sometimes you get some low audio signal, so we don't know who's checking in. This is M2NOB.
Thanks, well, I don't know if you called me on the landline, had you?
I'll get to you in 1 second with your question, Dean. See if there's anybody else checking in. Okay, yes, on. Pete, go ahead. Take it to CDC. That's what I'll be.
That's what I'll be taking. No, I wasn't getting antsy. I was trying to jump the guy. This was on the phone. I had nobody called me. Okay, one quick question. I've been noticing for the last whatever on the NYPD cars an additional antenna. It's one of those low-profile antennas. You know, it doesn't have the spring or the radiator. It just looks like it's got the coil section. I think I had mentioned it to you a couple of years back when Max Red had sent me a couple of samples. They claim whatever gain, but I see this here is about it. This unit, you may be even less. Anyway, it seems to be a Motorola type low profile because it looks like the same face design as the rest of their antennas. Do you have any idea what that is used for?
I've heard several possibilities, but I have yet to hear from anybody within the department on definite what it is. One possibility is being used as some type of GPS receiver. Two, being used, like you said, as unity or less gain antenna for UHF or for their mobile data terminal. And three, this latest one, which could be interesting if it has already been implemented, but all I know of is the test going on, with the new citywide Wi-Fi system at 4.9 gigahertz. This past Sunday, the fire department conducted a drill at the new Seven World Trade Center, and they implemented the new 4.9 gig digital system. And they were able to transmit live video from the 50th floor into the system, down to the commanders on the ground. So think of it as, you know, like you use Wi-Fi at home or in Starbucks. But think of this as across the city with multiple nodes that the first responders can use. So until we hear a definite, those are the three things that have been
approved. Report 1 and 2.
Okay, yeah, he's not. Yes, I'm too high. I gotta go look at their product line, but and then one for the computer is that little spike that's usually in the middle of the floor low jack antennas. Oh, and here's the other thing I wanted to ask you. I've been hearing what sounds like MPG-1200 in the tunnels.
and unfortunately, I haven't been able to put a delay on my scanner on all the frequencies, but definitely on UHF. And you only hear it downstairs. I know it's something to do with the train. I think it's something about it. But like I said, it seems to be on one of the 470 frequencies, perhaps a 482 or something like that. Oh, and the other thing is, I noticed on your webpage there was a change to the photo from Manhattan North and then to the transit. And that'll be it. Waiting for your reply. And then we take it.
Okay, Pete. Well, let me handle this backwards then. The change in the frequency was based upon a memo that came out saying that the transit division to the police department was going to be using those frequencies in the boroughs as they shifted up to UHF. It doesn't look like they're going to be fully implemented probably for a few months, but at least they've announced the channels. Second off, the MDC burst that you're hearing, what frequency are you hearing it on?
Somewhere in 470 and 480 somewhere. Yet to put a delay on all of them. Either at home, it's somewhere in 470, 480. It goes up so fast, I don't know, because I've been hearing it lately when I go on the train along Broadway. First I thought it was low jack, and then I realized, you know, they would have to have a low jack antenna somewhere, like, you know, right along there, and then I thought they were putting out so much power in that. And then when I looked and then I saw the floor, I saw the first digit of the frequency four, and I said, no, it can't be low jack. So, it sounds almost like that, but just the duration's a little longer, so. Let me do the train.
Okay, I'm not sure what it could be unless we're able to nail it down for what frequency it is. It could be one of the, again, it uses certain frequencies for power operations and maintenance crews and whatnot. I haven't been able to hear them myself over the years, but maybe if you're closer to it, you might be able to.
I don't have any of those frequencies in there, the way or the power on that. I think it's a community repeater. It's on 470 somewhere. But somewhere below 470.6. I know it's unique there somewhere. I'll look again. But definitely not in the power, known power frequency.
Okay, yeah, they would be like 470.375 65, something like that. I've got it on the page with the subway frequency near the top on the right-hand side.
Actually, Peter, Ed mentioned something about this a bunch of nets ago about something to do with the data. Some light on that. So I did hear him in a few minutes ago. Maybe he might know. There was one person that told us about those trains, that guy.
Hey, you know what you could do, Pete, is drop a message in the proper area on the near to the message board on my website. And we've got all sorts of people hanging out there, and they'll answer the question. You know, you'd be surprised if somebody who actually works in that division, and they'll be able to tell you exactly what it is. I've had some pretty interesting insight over the years on, over the past couple of years on various things that have been dropped in there.
Okay. Here's something else. I mean, little change user, and I could swear that years ago, before the implementation of
all these wireless systems that we have. Anyway, I put on a standard ham antenna on the phone. This thing is like on the top scale, you know, like on a scale of 1 to like 10, it's up to like 2. I never remember it picking up that much background RF. Is that a possibility?
Well, that's the basics for that whole signal sorter thing. Being able to get close enough to pick up a signal. You know, just think of it as a digital version of the field strength we discussed. Only they couple it with the frequency counter.
Just a simple little field strength. I put the one right where we had checked many years ago, and I put a BNC connector on so you could sort of like tune your or limit your frequency range, sort of, so to speak. But I never remember it going up that high. Never. Maybe like a quarter of an inch off of zero, not like almost a full inch. I mean, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. All right, I think that's pretty much it.
N-2-R-O-W.
Okay, Pete. Hopefully we can figure out some of this stuff. Before I pass it over to Bob, for interesting an article in Modern Times about National Weather Service, storm chasing, and things like that. There's a paragraph here on government weather balloons. And they launch the balloons at 0, 0, and 1,200 feet. Different parts of the United States to take, you know, temperature readings and whatnot. And it says here that the balloons transmit on 1.680 megahertz, 1,608 megahertz. And the frequency is a wide FM, and it can drift from 1,675 up to 1,685. It says that you'll hear a series of high-pitched tones which indicate temperatures, pressure, and humidity. And this is the person who's using it, tracking a small directional antenna using either an AOR AR3000A or an ICOM R3 and wide FM. Now, I know they launch the balloons out at Upton, Suffolk County, so maybe we'll hear things like that. So if you have a scanner that tunes up that high, you have something to look for. Okay, so we need to ask you, that's one of the, anything in the email?
Talking a little, Charlie, Ralph had a question I responded to an email. He was kind of suggesting that you use an LMD from ELF dish powered externally and take the output from 950 to 1450 and feed that into a scanner. And my only response to him was, what are you going to listen to with 3.7 to 4.2 gigs? There's nothing up there that's of any interest. So, in theory it would work, but there's, you know, the idea of an LMD is to take a higher frequency and down convert it to a lower frequency. You can use those little double balanced mixes to do similar things. Years ago, where there was I think they're still in business, Mini Circuits was a company in Brooklyn, and they made a little self-contained double balanced mixer module. I got a few of them. And the idea with that is that you take an RF input, and then you feed in a local oscillator. In my case, I use a signal generator, and you could take a higher frequency and bring it down to a lower frequency, or vice versa, depending on how you wire these things up. And what I actually did was I took an ultrasonic transducer, an ultrasonic receiver. I think it was around 45 kilohertz or something like that, or 63 kilohertz. And I fed it in there and then took the output and actually had it so that it would take ultrasonic sound that down converted into the human hearing range. So what you might want to wonder, well, what are you going to hear? Well, number one, you hear a lot of noises if you go exploring around the garden from insects, little clicking and, you know, and all kinds of weird things. But also, it makes a great leak detector. If you had an air hose or something like that that was leaking, you'd be surprised all these little clicks and hisses and, you know, and whistles that you don't hear up in that range, the animals hear. And it was a kind of a neat experiment. The other thing I did was I was receiving weather satellite data off of the local oscillator output of a TVRO receiver, and it was wideband FM. Using one of these little double-balanced mixer circuits, you could take a higher frequency and actually feed that into an HF receiver and then add the HF receiver into the PC to decode the weather satellite. But it was a real neat circuit, signal generator and this little self-contained module and, you know, a few minor parts, and it was kind of neat. So that's another way of playing around. Back to you, Charlie, and 210BWHSQ.
There's been so many projects like that over the years, Bob, that you know, people can experiment more. They can find some interesting things. And, you know, the guy is showing me a plan for turning the TV set into a simple oscilloscope. It can be done. No? Anyway, let's see. It's 9:47. Let's take a last round of check-ins before we close it up tonight. This is what I'll be with the shortwave scanner release set.
This is N208.
N208, go ahead.
Just listen to your conversation. Just listening to what your guys are saying, and it sounds very interesting. You hear how like you.
Well, every week you're going to hear something different on this net. And it's only a reflection of those who participate in the truth. So whatever's new and what's bothering people, bring it here and chat about it for a while and hopefully solve some mysteries. So, who knows? Next week could be something totally different. Oh, okay. My grandson playing slide. Okay. With that, we'll just say 7-3 to everybody. We'll catch you here next week. And, this weekend, this Sunday, is the Fiber Mic Tour. And to give you an idea how big this thing has gotten, they've had to close registration a few weeks early for the first time. Normally, they'll even let people sign up the morning of the event. They already shut down the registration. There's too many already signed up for it. So it is going to be very busy. I would say that those who are not participating in the event itself with some of us, if you're going to be sitting at home listening on the scanner, I was just listening to the POI trunk system for the new talk groups for EMS, because you will hear them come alive as the special event activities normally do on the electric radio. So listen in on Sunday morning. Mic tour starts at 8 o'clock, and it'll be finishing up on Staten Island by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If anybody's interested in joining us and providing communication for us, drop me a line. Other than that, we'll catch you next week. This is N201, I'll be clear.
Holly, are you going to be participating, riding in it?
Thank you. We don't have any hams riding bicycles in it. There'll be a fixed location for the shadowing various officials.
Okay. Next vehicle outside of driving more. I'll try to answer my own for the next time I go out. Maybe you can travel with subway quite often. All right.
7 3 0 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 Mexico, you know, ID number list and all that stuff. So I'll be getting that sometime tomorrow, so I'll have to ready to go out tomorrow night. Okay, well, let me get the little guy upstairs. He's playing around with my Vocan.
Hey, absolutely. We've got to get together and put another session together whenever you're ready.
N210V, what's happening with this event on Saturday at the seaport? Over.
I'll let you know.
Okay, looking forward to hearing about that. But I'm available Saturday morning if you need. TGN out.
Okay, catch you all later.